For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Monday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in for the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona and G. Hay Wiley. Grant, listen, last time we talked, it was a conversation after a rough loss that the Clippers had in historic fashion to the Lakers, and the last time the Clippers would host a home game in the regular season against the Lakers. But you got to feel good following yesterday's win. The Clippers over the Timberwolves, 89-88. It was on the road. It was in Minneapolis. Kawhi Leonard goes for 32 points, but this was a massive win against the top-seeded Timberwolves, a team that they had not fared well against. In fact, last time that they played in Los Angeles, it wasn't very close. Grant, your thoughts on that win yesterday?
It's good to see both of you again. I'm in much better spirits this time, I promise everybody. but yeah, what a win yesterday for the Clippers on the road in an environment that they honestly haven't won in much. And honestly, they haven't beat many of the top teams in the West, Arash. So this is one of the more signature wins for the Clippers. And it was a game where James Harden had a no-show from the field. I think he was 0 for 10 from the field. Paul George struggled as well. But there's a reason why they have so much depth and why you can just call other guys' names, and that's because you have guys like Norman Powell that can give you 24 like he did yesterday. You have guys like Kawhi Leonard, who's still at the top of his game. I think people kind of forgot because the Clippers are in a little bit of a lull, but he's still chugging along with the same efficiency that he had 2 months ago. He had 32 like you mentioned. So it's a very big luxury when you have two of your top four guys not play well and you still get the job done against the number one seed in the West. And especially, Rush, like I've said to you and G. Hay many times, the Timberwolves give the Clippers a lot of problems with their size and their athleticism and their wing perimeter defense. The Clippers were a much more methodical team, and the score, it looks like something you'd see in the 2010 finals, right, Arash? It's like 89-88. You never see that anymore. Yeah. It's usually in the 110s, 120s. So it was a kind of like a throwback defensive game. The Clippers locked in defensively down the stretch. They're still one of the best crunch time teams in all of basketball. And, you know, I think that win, Arash, over the weekend against the Wizards kind of shot them, you know, it kind of shocked them back into what they were, right? Usually you can get a win and say it's a get-back win, or it's a win that gets you back on track. I think that's what that Wizards game was. They blew them out at home. And then you go against a Minnesota team that has had your number and talked about it in the media as well and do this. I know it was only by 1 point, but it's just a gritty win because you had two of your top four guys, like I said, just not play up to their potential. So they have such a tough schedule. They have to play Milwaukee tonight. They have a lot of crucial games here coming up if they want to get back into the top three of the standings. But Arash, we were saying all doom and gloom earlier, and now they are only two games out of the one seed again. So it's crucial how these games go.
I mean, this back-to-back win was really key, coming off of back-to-back losses against the Kings and against the Lakers at home. But also a really brutal stretch there where it was, you know, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. And then they get back-to-back losses. To your point, you know, having a much-needed victory, scoring 140 points and blowing out the Wizards like they did was really big. GA, going into Minneapolis, I mean, again, we talk about how tough this stretch is. I mean, this was a game that most Clippers followers, that truthfully would probably have chalked up to a loss if you just look at what they've done against this team over the past few meetings. How big do you think was this win? I mean, again, where it's still the regular season and all that stuff, but I mean, I really think that this gives them a lot of confidence now that you know, they can contend with the best teams within the Western Conference.
Well, before I answer that question, Arash, something bigger happened today. Okay. It's your birthday, bro.
That's right. March 4th is my birthday.
We got to say happy birthday to the Arash Markazi.
The Clippers cannot come before that. We got to make that clear.
I appreciate
that. I had to shout that out. Of course, of course. I've been there for many a birthday for you. So I love, we got to say happy birthday
Thank
to you first and foremost. But to answer your question, going back to the Clippers. Yeah, you know, any win that you can have after those back-to-back losses is great. But at the same time, I think as a fan, I kind of saw that Wizards W as, yay, great, let's get back on track. It's a gimme, right? You should be blowing out the Wizards. This is a team that has the roster that should be blowing them out. Now, I don't want to say that, like, I'm with Grant on this one of they needed that to get their, maybe to get their confidence back as well because due to those back-to-back losses. But at the same time, it's the Wizards. No disrespect to anybody in the NBA. But those two rosters, they don't compare. So the Clippers versus the Wizards. Now going to going into Minneapolis and beating the Timberwolves, obviously a very highly touted team, a very, very talented team, and only winning by one is phenomenal, right? And just winning at the last second kind of thing is amazing. And to do it without Harden really kind of showing up, right? Like that definitely helps. I love that, you know, they had to rely on the D as opposed to what they normally would, which is run and gun, you know, their one-on-one game. I love the fact that they didn't have to really, that they kind of stepped up and switched things up, right? We've always been talking about them having to make adjustments, and this is the game where they finally did that, right? This is the game that we can maybe possibly see them doing that come playoff time as well. So it gives, I think for fans especially, it gives them us a little hope, you know, that we could possibly be doing this in the playoffs. Now, do I want an 88-89 win? Absolutely not. I'd rather have a Wizards blowout, but that's also just, that's just where I'm coming from. But a W is a W, and I'm glad that they're back on track to, and I'm hoping that they're back on track to, you know, making a run for it and getting that number one seed again. I mean, anything's better. As long as they come in the top three, I'm good. Right. Yeah, when it comes to playoff time, I'm very okay with that. I don't know like where you guys would stand as far as like your dream scenario, but I never, ever really want the number one seed with the exception of that bye, one of those like automatic buys. Like I don't really care for a number one seed. So I'm good with the number two, number three, you know, obviously depending on who we would have to play. But I'm not a huge fan of like getting the number one seed. I know that's not everybody. That's just me in particular.
Grant, the loss of Russell Westbrook with a fractured hand, that is a big loss right there. It looks like he could be out for the rest of the regular season. The last time he had he fractured his hand previously. I think this was, I want to say 2014, but it was a while ago. But he was out for 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, you kind of do the math there. I mean, maybe he could come back for the last couple of games of the regular season, but perhaps at that point there's no reason to push it. It looks like, thankfully, however, he could come back for, you know, the beginning of the postseason. But how big of a loss is this? Again, when you look at the impact Russell Westbrook has had with this team coming off the bench, your thoughts on his loss?
Yeah, it's a big blow to their guard defense, and he's had such a rebound year on the defensive end. You know, you can look at his stats and say, oh, well, he's only averaging 11 points a game. But, you know, when in his minutes, the limited minutes that he is playing, he makes such an impact with his energy, with his tenacity. When the team needs a pick-me-up or a spark, which happens a lot with this Clipper team, and, you know, they're an older team, like I've mentioned many times, sometimes they need a spark, and Russell Westbrook has always been that guy this year. This last game was the first game that Russell Westbrook has missed as a Clipper, which he is such an iron man for that team. Whether the other stars are out or not, he's going to be there, and it's kind of crucial for him to be back for the playoffs, because right now you're going to have Bones Highland play the backup point guard spot, and I love Bones Highland. I'm one of his biggest supporters. I've always loved his game. I've always loved the kind of energy that he brought to the Clippers when he came over. He was great in the playoffs last year, but he is just not the defender at the guard position that Russell Westbrook is. So when you're going up against some of these better guards in the league, a la Anthony Edwards, Jamal Murray, you know, even D'Angelo Russell can put up 20 points a game now. So they're going to miss that part of it. But I think Bones Highland can fill in very, very well. You know, before the James Harden trade, Bones Highland was a very integral part of this rotation. And he, to me, was one of their new up-and-coming guys, kind of like I saw with Terrence Mann back in 2021. So I'm not really worried about it in the sense that it's going to derail the Clippers, because their main stars are still healthy. And it's not a season ending where it's out for the playoffs as well injury. So I think Bones Highland can fill in admirably. He can still score the basketball, but I think they're going to be lacking at guard defense. I think that's the thing they're going to miss the most.
I wanted to switch gears to the Lakers again. I think everyone felt really good about that comeback win against the Clippers. But the one thing that we've said about this team, I mean, the high watermark for them would be perhaps once again facing the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. But I don't think I've seen anyone or heard from anyone who thinks that the Lakers can beat the Denver Nuggets. And part of that is the fact is that they always beat the Lakers. They defeated the Lakers for the eighth straight time, as LeBron James scored his 40,000 point. So the first player in league history with 40,000 points. Again, he's the all-time leading scorer, so that goes without saying. GA, I mean, I struggle with this because it's like, you know, you kind of want to feel confident, but I mean, listen, they're defending champions. To your point previously about the one seed, I don't think the Denver cares about the one seed. They had it last year, but I think generally speaking, you'd like a top four seed so you get home court in the first round. But I mean, these guys don't really care about that. Thoughts on the Denver Nuggets, G? I mean, again, a lot of talk about Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Clippers, Phoenix, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I just think come postseason time, if that 1-2 punch of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray is healthy, I think that team is the best team still in the league.
So you just said it, and I know we hate, I personally hate saying this all the time, if they're healthy, if they're healthy, if they're healthy. But if they're healthy, I mean, nobody's defeating Denver. I think it's just something that we all kind of have to come to grips with. We have to just kind of be like, they are going to be the ultimate favorite in winning it all. It's just going to be, how are you going to be able to contend against them, right? Even in whether it's the regular season or maybe like you can slow them down. Denver gives negative blanks about, you know, if they need to get rest or if they want the home court advantage. I don't think that they really care about that, even though they're going to get both, right? They're going to get some rest and they're going to get that home court advantage as well. I mean, unless something miraculous happens where like literally all three of their best players are out, right? And Joker and Murray. And
real quick, just to update folks, I mean, it's basically a three-way tie above the Western Conference with Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Denver kind of all tied there with the Clippers only two games back. So again, the Clippers are still in the hunt for, the one seed or a two seed or a three seed. But it's like if Denver does get the one seed, it's just because that happened just because that they've played well. But I mean, it's certainly not a goal of theirs. It wasn't a goal of theirs last year. They got it. But again, they have amazing home court advantage. So clearly you would rather have it than not, but it's not a goal of theirs.
Yeah, and I think if, you know, I don't want to obviously compare the NBA to college basketball by any means. There is no comparison. But, I mean, there's something to be said about a home court advantage, right? Like, yeah. Your fans, your bathroom, your, you know, your favorite routine restaurant that you and your family go to before the game. I don't know what your rituals are, but, you know, I mean, my family and I, we would go to Denny's before our games. I wouldn't eat a big breakfast, but my brother would, my mom would, and then we'd go to the game and like an hour before warm up, all the things that you need to do, the comforts of home. And when you go to a tournament or when you go to an away game, you have none of that. So yeah. You don't have that routine. And I'm sure these guys are very much, athletes are very much about the routine. So I think having that is obviously a huge advantage. Having your home court fans be there is a huge advantage as well. And it's something that everybody would enjoy. Is it necessary? Probably not. You might be more motivated. I feel like LeBron is more motivated when he plays away. You know, like there's a lot of guys out there that feel more motivated when they play away, have the opportunity to play away, especially during the off season. So if they get it, great. If they don't, you know, I don't think it's going to matter. For the Clippers, on the other hand, or the Lakers, you know, if they even get to that playing spot, I think specifically for the Clippers, I just don't think it matters. Like they just gotta make those adjustments, because home or away, that's where their weakness is in making those defensive adjustments that they thankfully proved yesterday. But, you know, I think moving forward, I hope that they continue to do.
And Gia, you bring up a good point. The Lakers, you know, speaking of home court advantage, I mean, right now they are now the 10th seed in that play-in tournament. So, or a play-in game. So, I mean, that game would be at the Warriors. If that were to happen, we'll see again. They're essentially tied right now, but, it's a frustrating thing, because I think the Lakers are basically locked into that 7-10 seed. But, Grant, I mean, for the Lakers to lose 8 straight now to Denver, and by the way, I don't know why, you know, the schedule worked out this way, but, you know, for the Kobe statue, they played Denver and lost. And for, you know, LeBron James scoring 40,000 points, they played Denver and lost. And I know this isn't college sports where you can schedule a bad team. These things happen when they happen. But, like, as a Lakers fan, there's no confidence that they can defeat this team. And listen, you're talking about the defending champions. You're talking about a team that would be favored against any other team in the league. So, you know, you're not going out on a limb there. But it would have been nice if it wasn't 8 straight games. And to be honest, these games have not been close recently.
Yeah, I know. And the thing about it, Arash, is the Lakers had a winning streak coming in, and they're feeling good about themselves after that Clipper win, that comeback victory. And, you know, it just feels like every time the Lakers have some sort of momentum and the Nuggets come to town or they go play the Nuggets, it just kind of ruins the vibe and the mentality of how people get a feel of the Lakers. Like, we always thought that the Lakers could be a top 4-5 team. We always thought that they could be dangerous if they get in healthy. And then when you see games like this, Arash, where they're right there, it seems like every matchup I watch with the Nuggets and the Lakers, they are right there, and then they just collapse in the end. And it feels like I'm watching the same game every time. And you would think that, you know, sometimes, you know, you would adjust and put a different player in there. D'Angelo Russell didn't even get back into the game until very late into the fourth quarter, which is very questionable, because he's been averaging over 20 plus points a game over his past 2 months. So there are some things here and there that I'm seeing where it's like, hey, did you learn from the last matchup? Did you understand that you can't just put Rui on Jokic and expect to get away with it for the whole game? Yeah. You know, Anthony Davis, you know, I know that we don't like to listen to a lot of the things that the ESPN panel says, but they were right about this, is that when Jokic puts up 30 points against the Lakers, Anthony Davis is expected to come close to that or match that or exceed that. And he had 17 and 11 in a performance that I thought he was kind of a no-show down the stretch. So there are just certain, you know, I mentioned this about the Clippers when they played the Warriors back in the Lob City days. Arash and Jihei, you know this. They just could not find a way to beat Steph Curry. Whatever it was, regular season, postseason, they could not find a way. And I feel like that's how it is with the Lakers and the Nuggets. You just have a bad matchup sometimes. And the Lakers could be playing at the highest peak that they are, and Michael Porter Jr. can give you 10 of 10 from the field and be perfect. So we saw it last year in the Western Conference Finals, how they got hot, and they got hot again. And It just seems like they want to steal the thunder away from the Lakers every time there's an event. Because every time there's an event, and Anthony Davis said this after the game too, is that it seems like every time LeBron breaks a record or there's an event, the Lakers don't show up for those. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's too much energy beforehand, but it's just a weird phenomenon, Arash. I've seen it a lot, but it's just weird in this case.
Well, the last 2 minutes, I want to get your quick thoughts on this. The Celtics yesterday defeated the Warriors, blew them out, embarrassed them, humiliated them. 140-88. And by the way, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green did start. They didn't play that long because the game was really out of hand already in the first half. Your thoughts on that? Again, two-part there. Again, I think everyone thinks that the Celtics are looking like the best team in the East, so we could have a collision course there for the finals. But, man, just an embarrassing loss for the Warriors.
Yeah, another team that, like I said about the Lakers, you go into a place where you've had success, right? They beat them on that floor in the 22 finals. They had their number last year. And then you just put up a stinker, and the Celtics run away with the game that, honestly, I thought was going to be a lot more competitive. Steph Curry, Arash, had 4 points in total. Total, the whole game. This is probably one of the worst performances I've seen from them. Draymond Green mentioned this as well, and I want to kind of reiterate, is that they tried a new kind of coverage on Jaylen Brown. It seems like the Warriors were kind of just testing things and going through the motions. I know you don't want to do that against the Boston Celtics, but it just seemed like they were kind of tinkering around. So I'm not going to take a lot away from it. The loss does hurt the Warriors because they're trying to claw and fight just like the Lakers, but I think this just proves that this weekend proves that the Celtics and the Nuggets are the cream of the crop, and then it's just everyone else right now.
Yeah, I mean, they just one of the best performances that you could possibly have. And when we come back, we're going to leave it there for now. I want to get G. Hayes thoughts. I mean, I have watched more women's college basketball this season than I've ever watched before. And in fact, I agree with Bill Simmons. At least this season, I've watched more women's college basketball than men's college basketball. So I want to get G. Hayes thoughts on an amazing weekend and performance, certainly yesterday, by Caitlin Clark. And so we'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment on want to win tickets for an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas or Hawaii, caller hotline 310-400-0340. I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge two people who passed away the past few days. First of all, Richard Lewis, amazing comedian, as you well know from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is they're having their final season. And, you know, one of these storylines was, you know, that he's gonna, you know, that Richard was gonna leave Larry something in his will, and Larry's like, don't, and just an amazing comedian. And also Chris Mortensen, that news coming down last night, Chris Mortensen passing away, a longtime reporter for the National Football League at ESPN, passing away at 72. Two men, by the way, who that I didn't know, but I mean, this was one of the beauties of Twitter, or what was Twitter, is that they both followed me. And so I direct messaged both of them like over the years. So I never really, you know, got to sit down and know either one, but it, you know, it was one of the beauties of social media. And again, I know there's a lot of bad with social media, and it's sort of become a cesspool at times. But there were these moments, certainly in the early days of Twitter, where you had the ability to connect with people that perhaps you would not have otherwise. So I wanted to take a moment to recognize those two. Also over the weekend, and this happening yesterday, Caitlin Clark, and she's just become must viewing if you're at home, and you know, certainly post Super Bowl, there's no football on a Sunday. Just seeing her break the all-time scoring record in college basketball was amazing to see. And really the recognition that she's gotten. I mean, you look at who was in the crowd, whether it's Travis Scott or Maya Moore. It's been really cool to see. Jihei, as someone who consumes more college basketball than anyone I know and also played the game, your thoughts on what you've seen from Caitlin Clark?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate her for making a bold move and announcing that she is going to enter the WNBA draft next season, because she doesn't have to. She can actually still take her COVID year and she can still play and make all the NIL money, but she decided not to do that. I personally, if I was able to go back to college and have the NIL money, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And I was her, I would never leave college. I'd make them kick me out of college. That's first and foremost, to make that NIL money. Second of all, I mean, she's definitely impacted the game. What I'm probably going to say is a little on the controversial side, but Pete Maravich's son, who is the record that she just beat yesterday, said something a little on the controversial side, and I'm going to have to agree with him. And I would love to actually see the comparison if she had to play when he played. He averaged over 40 points a game throughout his career, and he did this in three seasons. So, and I'm not taking away from what Caitlin Clark did by any means. That girl is a baller. I have been on her side from day one when it came to the LSU-Iowa controversy, when it came to, you know, people questioning her, or some people questioning about, you know, her You Can't See Me John Cena remake of, like, how she celebrates, from her flair to everything, the way that she plays and the way that she can bring such a positive influence to the game of basketball in general, let alone just women's basketball, but also to just basketball in general. It has been phenomenal, right? Like, do you know also that the highest for the ticket for her second to last game before she actually broke Maravich's record in order to break the women's basketball record, basketball all-time scoring record, the cheapest ticket was like $300 or $451. That was the cheapest ticket.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's incredible. And the most expensive ticket was almost $7,000. I mean, that's unheard of in women's sports in general, let alone in college basketball, right? I mean, I've heard of expensive tickets, but never for a women's game like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that those people are waiting hours before they're getting into that gym. They're waiting 2-3 hours prior to being able to go into that gym. She packs basketball courts. So, like, for her to be able to do that as a woman, as a player in general, or forget her gender, as a player in general, it's something to be applauded. It's something to be recognized. It's something that she's changed the game permanently, I think, for women's basketball. And I'm so there for it. But I would have loved to see if the three-point line was not in place, the shot clock wasn't in place. I wonder what her game would be like even more, right? Would she be going to the basket a lot more, getting those and ones as opposed to shooting from the logo? Would she be doing, like, her game would be completely different, right? It would have to be a little different. If it went back even further, and I'm sorry I'm going on a tangent, but if it went back even further, there was a time in place where, I don't know, a lot of people know about women's basketball history or girls' basketball history. They could only pass the ball a certain amount of times until they had to score. So, like, it was a turnover violation if you passed the ball more than three times. So, you know, I'm not kidding. We laugh about it today, but it's like, it's crazy how much the game has evolved from that to now, right? Where women and men have relatively like the same rules. So I would love to see how she would have had to play in that kind of environment. But all that being said, it doesn't take away from the fact that this woman is phenomenal. She is so great for the game. She is a game recognizes game, man, and you cannot deny how great she is. Now, would I hope that she would make the tournament and win the whole entire thing? Absolutely. I don't think that her team is there.
Yeah.
She's great. And I'm so excited for what she has to bring to the WNBA. And if she does decide maybe to double dip and go overseas and do that too, I'd love to see that as well. I think internationally, she can shoot the lights out. She's going to be great on anywhere she gives her effort. So I applaud her. I'm super psyched for her. I can't wait to see what more she has to give on the professional level.
One thing before we bring in Grant to this conversation, because I've heard people say this as well, and I don't agree with it with Caitlin, and I think it depends collegiately, like with which program you're at. If you are making if you have a like NIL deal, and I'll use State Farm as an example for Caitlin, I'm sure she has a lot more. Like, that's not going away just because she goes pro. So like I don't think she's taking there. And again, I'm not just pointing this out at UGA, but I have heard people say she would be taking a pay cut to go pro. I'm like, well, if you think that she's making like X amount for playing college ball, I promise you those sponsorships are not going to dry up because she's going to go pro. Now, where it's a big difference in WNBA is that just unfortunately the salary's not there. Like, it's not. I do think she could make more playing in the WNBA, but it really depends on where you play collegiately, I guess. I mean, I think that's sort of the one thing where, it's a long-winded way of me saying, like, she's not taking a pay cut. Like all the deals she has in place are going to be there, and I bet she gets more. But I have heard that from some people, GA, and I just don't think it's true.
I can see that. I can absolutely see what you're talking about as far as like her screen time, getting commercials, et cetera, and stuff like that. I just think that in the college game, she's getting a lot more eyes on her than in the WNBA numbers. So women's college basketball, you're going to be watching that a lot more than you're going to be watching a WNBA game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so like,
I wonder if she changes that, you know, I mean, but by the way, 100% right. Like the numbers for a Caitlin Clark college basketball game, or like even generally, maybe historically, like a UConn Tennessee game back in the day, like that is going to be doing a better number than a WNBA game. But I'm pretty sure that a Caitlin Clark WNBA game is going to do bigger numbers than the like average game does now.
I mean, we're going to have to wait and see till next season, right?
But she's a star. Like if you're tuning in to watch Caitlin Clark play a college basketball game, unless she falls off the face of the earth, and I don't think she will, you're going to tune in. But I see what you're saying. Grant, your thoughts. I mean, have you again? I had not historically watched a ton of college women's basketball. I did last year. I certainly have this year. In fact, I've watched more college women's basketball than college men's basketball so far. Your thoughts, and have you consumed any of these Caitlin Clark games?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that she's going to change the WNBA along with Sabrina Ionescu. I think that both of them just bring a certain kind of star style factor that the WNBA hasn't probably seen in a long time. I know you've had your Diana Taurasi's, you've had your Candace Parker's, you've had many legends along the way, Maya Moore, another one. But I just think that the way Caitlin Clark plays, there's a reason, guys, that Steph Curry, everybody comes out to watch Steph Curry. Everybody wants to tune in to see what Steph Curry does. The Warriors games are at all-time levels when you look at viewership. When they played the Lakers last year, it was a second-round series, but people wanted to see Steph Curry against LeBron James. I think it's going to be the same thing with Caitlin Clark. The things that she does on a basketball court is absolutely, absolutely insane, regardless of the level. She's putting up shots from Damian Lillard, Steph Curry range. She is dishing it out like Luka Doncic or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. She gets triple doubles. She's great in the community. She's great in front of a camera. Like, this is exactly what the WNBA needs to move forward with, like you guys mentioned, the low viewership, which is kind of sad because right now I think that this is the most talent that women's basketball has seen, whether it's college or WNBA. I mean, if you just sit down and watch the game of women's basketball, you are seeing the talent level rise and rise every year. Juju Watkins is putting up 50 yeah. points for USC. Caitlin Clark's putting up 40 to 50 a night for Iowa, and she probably will in the WNBA. Sabrina Ionescu and everyone on the Las Vegas Aces, I feel like they're always good. You watch those types of players and those types of teams, and you can just already tell what kind of growth that women's basketball has seen. I think that, Jihei, you're right. You can make a lot more if you stay at Iowa or if you stay another year for college basketball. It just gets more because of the regional value. But if you put Caitlin Clark on in a primetime game against Las Vegas Aces, I will be tuning in. I will certainly be watching that game. If you put him up against the New York Liberty, I will be watching that. If you put him up against a lot of teams, I will still tune in to watch Caitlin Clark destroy the WNBA, because I think that she can be that kind of transcendent, not just player, but like market value type player for the WNBA. So I'm extremely excited for her, for this opportunity for her. I think it's the best right now.
Look, I'm not knocking her by any means by leaving. I'm not knocking her by like, you know, that she won't be able to change the game. I'm sure she's going to. Curry changed the game forever by his range and his ability to dish and his ability to shoot past the logo, right? I mean, he can shoot it from the other side of the court and still make it. So like, and that's the ability that this woman has. I'm not saying that she might not change the game. I'm just saying like, I really hope it happens, because as somebody that has played ball before and played on the collegiate level, I never thought that I would see this day where women's college basketball was something that people would actually be watching, let alone the WNBA as well, or like any professional kind. So again, this is me hoping. I would love for that to happen. Again, time is going to tell on this. I really hope it is. That's all I'm going to say, is I hope it happens.
Listen, I mean, to Grant's point, it has been such an amazing time for the sport in terms of the superstars coming into the league. And again, you know, it's really important that the collegiate game is where it's at right now, because then what happens? Then you're involved in the WNBA draft and you're involved in these players and you're invested in them. And again, you're hoping that enables them to sort of increase the TV deals that they get. I mean, the biggest thing is some of these numbers that we're seeing that these college basketball games are getting. When you get, you know, past a couple of million, I mean, now you're really talking there, maybe even 10 million for the championship game, which is just an astronomical number, blows out the majority of the other leagues, not including the National Football League, which is in their own stratosphere. Speaking of the National Football League, big story that came out that affects both Jihei and Grant. The Rams are holding their draft event, their annual draft event. Now, they got their first round pick since, I believe, back in 2016 when they drafted Jared Goff first overall. They are coming to Hermosa Beach right next to GA. They said, hey, where is GA? Let's go party with her. So they're going to be right past the pier. They're going to have a football field out there. They're going to have fan events out there. Again, the way that the draft is now, you know, Thursday is the first round, and then Friday is rounds 2 and 3, and then kind of can relax on Sunday and watch the rest at home on television. But GA, I'm going to start with you, because you could just walk to this fan activation event, and you have, I know you're a Giants fan, but I would assume kind of like the Rams are maybe your second team. But your thoughts on the Rams coming to Hermosa?
You know what? Yay, good for them. Thank you for making it very conveniently located. It's only a 5-minute walk, guys. So I'm very stoked on that. I'm happy. I hope it stays sunshiny, rainy all day, or non-rainy all day. And let's throw some footballs and watch some draft picks go. I think that they'll be very entertained by my reactions if my draft picks don't come.
Oh, yeah. Though,
as Arash has very well known, yes. Knows my horrible Micah Parsons disappointment when he got drafted by your Cowboys and not my G-men. Oh man, that defense would be so game-changing if he was on there right now. But I digress. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad that it's very conveniently located. I mean, this is another great thing that the Rams do, where they make it so cool that they're making it so that they're trying to get this fan base. And they're getting, you know, they're going across the board everywhere, right? Like making it inclusive for everybody. So I'm there for it, man. I can't wait. And we can have free draft drinks on my roof, guys, if you want to come over and we can walk down.
Let's do it. I know Grant will be there. Grant, I think the uniqueness about this is that the Chargers are moving into the South Bay. They're opening up their new practice facility in El Segundo. They have been, and they currently still are, in talks of having their own draft event in the South Bay. They had wanted to have an event at the Manhattan Beach Pier. That apparently got voted down. So it's kind of interesting that the Rams are sort of planting their flag during the draft in the South Bay. Again, the Rams will be moving their practice facility to Woodland Hills before this upcoming season. Your thoughts, Grant? The Rams celebrating their first round pick since 2016, right on the beach there in Hermosa Beach.
I think it's a prime location. Nothing wrong with having a beach draft event. I think not many other teams in the NFL can say that they can do that. So they're doing it definitely Los Angeles style. Like you said, G, hey, they're just trying to connect with the LA base a lot more. And I think over the years, you've seen a little bit of growth with Rams fans here in the community. So I hope that this event takes it to another level. As for the draft, I hope they keep the first round pick. There's been rumors of them giving it away. I say keep it. There's a lot of talent out there. The draft combine just finished. There's a lot of candidates that I saw that could be Rams at the 19th spot in the first round. So not just the location of the event, but the amount of players that the Rams have. It's an exciting time to be a Rams fan right now.
Yeah, I mean, and they have some holes to fill. I mean, certainly there's been a lot of talk if they keep the pick. You know, do they go with an offensive lineman? I certainly hope that they keep the pick, but I mean, you know, knowing Les Snead, I do trust in, you know, his thought process there. I mean, if they can flip that into, let's just say, you know, two number two picks or something along those lines, you know, no problem there. I have been at these events, guys, where, you know, like the fans are counting down. Again, this would be a much simpler party for the Chargers fans because they have the fifth pick in the draft, so you get there on time and your team picks fifth, and then you can have a good time. Like after that, you know, when you're drafting like number 19 or something like that, it's a long wait. And then it's even worse if your team trades the pick. Real quick before we close out, Grant, like as you look at what the Rams need to do to build upon the success that they had a year ago, if they keep the pick, what position, or if you have a player in mind, what would you like to see them do with that first round pick?
Yeah, they need a defensive player. I've seen a lot of things about maybe an offensive lineman, but they can draft that later in the rounds. I think that they should be looking at a guy like Chop Robinson from Penn State. He's an edge. He had an excellent combine. You can also go after a guy, Kool-Aid McKinstry. It's an awesome name. He's from Alabama, a cornerback. Nate Wiggins, he's from Clemson. He had a good day too. I think he was one of the fastest 40 times at the draft combine. So, and I know that the Rams are probably going to draft a quarterback at some point just to have a younger guy because we don't know about Stetson Bennett. If they do, I loved what I saw from Joe Milton from Tennessee. He's huge. He's like Anthony Richardson. He can launch the ball down the field, and the Rams have a guy that can go get it down the field in Puka Nacua. So I know it's a dream. It's probably a dream of mine to get a guy like that. But later in the rounds, I am going to be tuned in because I'm not going to doubt Les Snead anymore. He can go pick in the fifth or seventh rounds.
Yeah, and I would like to see them add a vet or keep Carson Wentz or someone. Again, that Green Bay loss with Mark Ripien really kind of haunted this team. Like as they looked at where they could have been. So look for them to add a veteran quarterback as well. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes, G. Hay, Grant, and crew.
Absolutely.
Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.